Welcome to Influencer Marketing for Destinations, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Influencer Marketing for Destinations. We are really excited to be talking about a unique topic that a lot of people find controversial, but also something that may be new to a lot of people. We're going to talk about geotagging today. And so before we hop in and dive into the meat of everything, we're going to have Jess kind of share our time out for trends. What have you got for us, Jess?
Yeah, thanks, Jacqueline. So today, our time out for trends actually plays in very well to the topic episode of geotagging, because some contribute geotagging to be an issue of this time out for trends. So today we're going to talk about over tourism in Hawaii. Ever since COVID measures were pulled back this year, the Hawaii Islands have been dealing with a lot of over tourism. I saw this by going there in May of 2021. Where it was extremely difficult to book a car. People were even booking U-Hauls just to drive around for a couple hours along the island. It was very pricey to get a hotel because they were in such high demand. Food was expensive and it was crowded. So I think this is a real issue, one that I saw with my personal eyes this past year. And so what they're doing now is that the Hawaii Tourism Authority, because they're facing that shrinking budget, they're actually shifting to take a bigger role in managing tourism as a whole instead of just mainly focusing on marketing Hawaii to the entire world. So I think that's interesting, where a lot of destinations would maybe not kill to have this specific problem, but they would love more tourism to their destination. So it just goes to show that there are so many destinations out there that are incredible and that are welcoming visitors, but maybe we should, for example, in this case, give Hawaii a little bit of a break and let them rebound on their own before we overrun their islands. I don't know. What do you think about this, Jacqueline?
This is an interesting topic for sure. I know in the summer of 2020, as well as going into this year, some certain national parks, I won't say all of them, but some of them also had this issue as well. We had national parks specifically in Utah, since we have some really popular and big ones like Moab or Bryce Canyon, that often had long lines. You would have to actually wait in a line in your car before you could be permitted into the national or state park. I know Sand Hollow had this issue. We went there for some outside time, trying to social distance as well. And There was not really a lot of social distancing, and multiple cars just lined up waiting to get into the park because they had to cap it off. So I think it is a problem in certain areas. And so it is important for us to think about not only where we're going, but, how popular is that place? And is there something else? Because there usually always is something close by those popular areas that is just as beautiful or just as unique. I do think it's interesting how Hawaii is responding to this as well. The article that we'll link in the description talks about how, in July, the Maui County Council has introduced, new hotel bans or kind of stopping building permits to make sure that they keep things, at the numbers and at the level they want it to without adding more.
Exactly. Yep. Because that's something that they can do, because they don't have too big of, a grasp on not allowing more flights to come in or the number of rental cars on the road. But that is something with the hotel ban that they can control a little bit to maybe help the flow of the tourists flowing into their island. So I think this is just a very interesting article, but also an interesting concept of over tourism. And maybe we, being responsible visitors, maybe seek out a different destination for the moment that is very welcome to tourists and needs those tourism dollars, and it's not being, overrun by all the visitors.
I think this also does place a greater responsibility on influencers and destinations as partners and as individuals to be conscious of what they're sharing and what messages they're sending out to their audiences. Because I know as an agency and working with many destinations, last year we started using a lot of phrases I know everyone has heard of, like leave no trace, recreate responsibly, which we'll talk about a lot more. but also really sharing a lot of those smaller hidden gems that maybe people haven't heard about before. And I know influencers can do that as well.
Exactly, exactly. And that's a perfect segue into what we want to jump into today, which is geotagging. So if you're new to this term, basically geotagging is assigning a location, or in other words, a geotag, to a photo or a video that you post on social media. One of the biggest social media platforms that geotags are implemented is on Instagram. There are several other platforms, but I definitely would say that Instagram is the largest one that people use to geotag their photos. Would you agree with that, Jacqueline?
Yeah, I definitely, that's the one where I've personally used it the most. And that's the one where when we partner with influencers, we tend to notice that a little bit more there.
Perfect. Okay, good. We're on the same page then. So there's a couple other terms that we want to explain before jumping into more of geotagging that will be beneficial for you to understand before going into the meat of this episode. So the first one is the Recreate Responsibly campaign. Jacqueline, do you have a little bit more insight into this?
Yeah, so this one is probably one of the more recent ones. It is hashtag Recreate Responsibly, and it was started in May 2020. So it is a coalition, and a coalition basically just means that it's a combined alliance of multiple different parties to form this message. So the message itself is aspiring people to really have a great holistic outdoor experience while also keeping themselves, keeping others, keeping the outdoors, and really keeping that experience safe as well as inclusive and protected and all sorts of messages like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. I think I honestly love this coalition that was formed. I think it was critical when it was formed. I wish it would have been formed a few years ago, right? I think this message is really important and should have been around for a long time. But I'm really grateful that these businesses and agencies and nonprofits all got together to form this hashtag Recreate Responsibly. And we've seen that if you go on to Instagram and type in hashtag Recreate Responsibly, you will see so many different Instagram posts that are now using that hashtag. And because they did a fantastic job at getting the word out about doing this on social media. So I think this is a great message and a great coalition that they put together.
Definitely. There's so many people trying to do so much good out there. And so we're really glad that we can recognize that one. Another one that has been around a lot longer that is probably a little bit more familiar is Leave No Trace. Jess, I know you know this one really well. Where have you seen this one?
I feel like this one is still more popular than the hashtag Recreate Responsibly, just because it has been around for what, more than 40 years. But however, just in the last year, the organization, the Leave No Trace, they published social media guidance asking people specifically to avoid tagging or geotagging precise locations. And in place of doing that, they're asking just to tag, you know, more generic places, whether that be a region or the state of a whole or any location at all, right? Maybe not even having to geotag your photos. So this was the Leave No Trace. It's very popular on social media. You'll also see the hashtag Leave No Trace as well. Once again, just like the Recreate Responsibly, I think this is an incredible message that was much needed for social media.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And it's really interesting to see that this isn't a new concept necessarily either. I mean, Leave No Trace is a concept that has been around, like you said, for, you know, over 40 years, half a century. And in 1987, it really started with kind of a little program for wilderness and backcountry. And now it has just grown to become a nonprofit organization in 1994, where this is a common thing that happens in cities and, you know, on city trails or rural city trails, as well as that backcountry and wilderness. So it's definitely becoming a bigger topic and something that everywhere is applicable for.
Mm-hmm, exactly. I think it's interesting too, that once they released, you know, this guidance about asking people to avoid tagging or geotagging, they were kind of playing off of what Jackson Hole did. So if you haven't heard about this campaign, in late 2018, the Jackson Hole Travel and Tourism Board, they're located in Wyoming in the USA, they launched a campaign encouraging all social medias who visited all social media users who visited their destination to avoid geotagging the specific directions to a trail or a waterfall or an outlook point or anything that would promote over tourism to a specific area in Jackson Hole. I think this campaign is really fascinating. And in my opinion, I think it was very successful if you're looking at the metric of how many people it reached, because I think a lot of people are familiar with, if you're scrolling on social media, you might come across a post where it says, keep blank, and they insert the city or the region wild. And that was kind of their tagline that they used by asking individuals not to tag a specific place, but instead to tag responsibly, keep Jackson Hole wild.
That's amazing. It's interesting that not necessarily so small, but, you know, compared to Hawaii and some of these bigger destinations we've already talked about, Jackson Hole as a smaller destination or medium-sized destination, I guess I'll say, is really taking this and really came up with something that's so unique that has now been marketed and become even bigger into some of these bigger concepts. So to me, as an ad agency and as a marketer, you know, it's admirable and really amazing to see what they've been able to do with this campaign.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think it's interesting, if you don't know what spurred this decision for them, I'd love to kind of explain the backstory because I think it's interesting. So in Jackson Hole area, there is a lake called Delta Lake. It is beautiful, but it is quite a decent hike to get there. It's about 8 miles and it's rated as difficult on like all trails and different hiking websites. So it's definitely not for the faint of heart. You need to be an experienced hiker to make it here. But what was happening was people were going to Delta Lake and then they were using the geotag Delta Lake on their Instagram and social media posts. And people were able to see the direct or the exact location of the lake. But because there wasn't a specific trail for it, the Jackson Hole Tourism Board were finding that people were trying to find the destination based on, right, that specific geotag, but they were ill-prepared. They occasionally would get lost or even sometimes injured. So this was what actually spurred them to create this Keep Jackson Hole Wild campaign. But they do say, let me read this quote from them. They say, quote, "This was the destination that spurred our action, but we know that there will be more as tourism continues to thrive, and we are trying to be proactive to protect and preserve these special places for future generations to enjoy." So I thought that was really fascinating of why they, you know, what was the exact reason that they decided to launch this campaign and their purpose moving forward.
That's an amazing story. And that's the perfect example too. I think it helps with such a concept as geotagging, especially for those that may have not known or heard about it or really experienced it before. I'll admit myself, like geotagging as a concept, the term at least, was new for me. But, you know, you look on Instagram and even for, you know, the nearest restaurant or something like that, there are geotags everywhere. And so that story is the perfect illustration of what we're talking about and what destinations can try to identify for themselves, being proactive for themselves in figuring out, okay, what geotags already exist for my destination? And do I need to think about being proactive and messaging towards that specific place?
Exactly. Yep. And I think what you just said about it, the destination needs to decide. They need to research to see what geotags people are using. And they also need to research, is those geotags beneficial or is it harming the local environment, depending on if you're a rural area or if you're based in a city. I think it's really important that all destinations know the top geotags in their area that social media users are using.
Yep, that's definitely true. And this also stems from a marketing's perspective and from the destination perspective. 2 years ago, Relic created a campaign for Bryce Canyon Country. And if you want to hear from Fallon from that destination, you know, we talked to her in episode 2. And we created a campaign for her called Bryce and Beyond. Bryce Canyon National Park really is the most trafficked and the iconic destination or the iconic park for her destination. And we really wanted people to not only go there because, yes, it's a beautiful place, but we really wanted them to explore and see, you know, the sandstone hoodoos of Kodachrome and the slot canyons of Escalante and all these other places that are just as beautiful. And that's the campaign that they had done and what Relic had done for them to kind of help with their potential over-tourism there.
Honestly, that was a fantastic campaign. I loved seeing what Relic did with that. And I think, right, it did its job. It encouraged people to visit hidden gems in the area. And I think that's really at the heart of what Jackson Hole was wanting to do is, yeah, Delta Lake is cool, but have you seen all of the other lakes in the region? There's so much more than our destination offers than just one Instagram spot. So I think that's important for destination and influencers to consider. Now, let's kind of relate this to specifically how geotagging affects influencers during their jobs and also how it affects the destinations. So, for example, as a travel influencer on social media, I would say the main job that we have is to encourage people to visit incredible destinations that we're promoting. And it's hard because when you're promoting an area, it's very convenient to add that geotag. That way people can click on it and then they can learn more about that destination just by you sharing about it, which is right why tourism boards hire you to go to that area. So there was a report published in 2014 by Simply Measured, and it actually said that Instagram posts tagged with the location receive 79% higher engagement. So this engagement is very appealing to influencers and the brands and tourism boards that are wanting to hire them. So as a travel influencer, it's very tempting to geotag every photo because you know it will get more reach than a photo without a geotag. So that is definitely a downside for influencers of perhaps by not using geotags, you'll get less engagement, but you'll also be contributing to, you know, a good cause.
That's great. And it's nice to know that influencers are thinking about this. And, you know, in all the influencer marketing campaigns that I've done and worked with and worked on, this is not something that has been addressed or brought up. And so to me, both on the destination and influencer side, a great call to action or takeaway from this episode would be to add that to some of the goals and values of your partnership and just start the conversation and ask, you know, is this something that the destination is okay with the influencer doing? Or as a destination, is this something I want the influencer to do? Or is this something I want to ask that they refrain from?
That's a great point. Yep, that is a very great point. Now let's go to the other side of the table. So there is a blogger. Her name is Lauren. She has more than 100,000 followers on Instagram. She also has like the blog, The Down Low, and she runs client campaigns through like the Influencer Institute. But at least to say, she is a very prominent blogger in the travel industry. Anyways, she says that she actually loves to work with under the radar destination and actually says that geotagging in these destinations help showcase places that to her followers that may have not considered visiting. So I think this is an interesting point that maybe areas that aren't getting a lot of visitors could actually benefit from geotagging. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that, Jacqueline?
It's an interesting thought, and it's one that I really appreciate. I love that she's thinking of this because I can already think of a couple destinations that I work with where they're consistently saying, you know, this popular destination is, you know, an hour or less away. And why don't they see us? Why don't they come to us? You know, or why don't they go here? And we constantly are trying to figure out strategies and campaigns and things to share the message of these unique little gems. And I love that she has this mentality. The one thing that I will say as just a warning is if an influencer or if a destination is getting ready to geotag and share a lesser known destination area or a smaller attraction or park or anything of the sort, really look at the infrastructure. I know we're going to have an awesome guest who will talk a little bit more about this next time, but really look at the destination to see, do they have restaurants or hotels or campgrounds or anything nearby, signage, that sort of thing in the destination that will be able to help visitors find their way or be able to sustain the tourism that you're about to bring there. That's definitely a lot of responsibility on the destination side because they are responsible for making sure the signage and infrastructure is there. But we want to make sure that we can recreate responsibly and leave no trace and do those things that we are sharing and be true to our word there.
Very well said. Yep, those are all great points. So I think the call to action for if you're an influencer listening would be when you go and work with the destination, ask them, would they like you to geotag? And if they would, ask them, would you like me to tag, you know, a specific place or just your county as a whole? Because they might have some more insight into it than you might have with your current knowledge.
Yep. And for destinations, I would say your takeaway is to do an audit of your destination. Go through the checklist, go through your destination with new eyes and just say, you know, what do I want geotagged? And if I had the choice, how would I do it? How would I structure it? And do I need a campaign? You know, what level of assistance do you need to share that message? And do you have the infrastructure for it?
Fantastic. Yep, that's a fantastic call to action for the destinations. It's a lot to do, but I think, for example, the Jackson Hole Tourism Board would say it is well worth it just to make sure your destination is being seen, but also not overrun.
And Jackson Hole also had their agency to help them. So don't think that you have to do it all on your own. I know destinations, there are partners in all sorts of realms and areas for you. And so all shamelessly, you know, plug Relic. If you need an agency to help you, then let us know.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode about geotagging. We are very excited to continue talking about all things influencer marketing offline. In order to do so, just go give us a follow. We are on Instagram, Pinterest, and Twitter. We're happy to answer any questions and share insights. We also love sharing up-to-date content about influencer marketing on our Instagram stories. Also, we just had a new website that just launched this week. It is the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. And let me give you the URL so you can check it out. It is www.thedmpn.com. This is a great website for destination and visitors alike.
Thanks, Jess. Yep, this website is fantastic and you can learn about new destinations or the marketing side for destinations. So we'll see you all next time. Thanks for listening. This has been another episode of Influencer Marketing for Destinations, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Jess and Jacqueline and produced by Relic.